Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
We have been speaking about the power of godliness, and the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 we have been reading, taken from verse 7, Paul instructed Timothy to avoid wasting time with worldly fables. He said, but on the other hand, he told him, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, or profits for a little while. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Now verse 9, which we haven't read so far, let me just add it to it because it's an important truth I want to bring out from there today. He said, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. Or if you use the King James, he said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Now, we have been restudying this, and there are a number of points that we have learned from it. Amongst those points include the fact that, one, godliness is discipline. That is, he said, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. You're not supposed to say, this is just the way I am, and I can't do anything about it. If you discover something that is better than the way you are, you will learn it. In fact, one of the things, now this happened to me many years ago. Now, when money was still, we had a different set of values compared to what we have today. I'm talking the story of over 10 years ago. In fact, actually, precisely, this was around 1988. That's about 20 years ago. I saw somebody give out 20 naira. Now, 20 naira at that time was a lot of money. If you bear in mind that I was a university student, and to eat a meal then was 1 naira. And I was quite surprised that somebody could just give out 20 naira. Now, what did I do as a result of that? I got up and told myself, I too will be able to give out money like this. And the interesting part, it did not even cross my mind that maybe the young lady, because it was a young lady that gave somebody near me, I said, maybe he has a lot of money. That one did not even cross my mind. What just happened to me was that I realized that it was possible for somebody to give out money and not feel so tight about it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So what I did was I began to teach myself generosity. I taught myself so that one day one brother just said he needed something and it was going to cost him about 40 naira. I immediately volunteered to give him the first 20 naira. Now, I'm talking about 20 naira when a full meal, a full complete meal, was 1 naira. That was about 20 years ago. Now, so get what I'm trying to say here. That is, this is what we do. We discipline ourselves. We learn things. When you see something that is good, you learn it even if it was not your nature. Do you understand my point? I remember if somebody I met once, I do not like to call him a friend, but he was supposed to qualify for a friend. But his character was so terrible that, you see, I wouldn't really like to call him a friend. This man was so stingy. Now, when I say stingy, he even went beyond being stingy. He liked to just take from people. He was not poor, but it was just his character. So when they were speaking, he said that, he knows he's not generous. And I looked at him, you are not generous. You border on being a thief. You cannot call this, I am not generous. Now, what am I trying to explain? It is wrong of him to say, I know I am not generous. What is wrong is that having realized the fact that he knows he is not generous, he should begin to learn it, not settle down in the midst of that habit. Many years ago, I asked after him from somebody who knew him also. And the news I heard showed that this guy had not changed at all. That is, he refused to discipline himself for the purpose of godliness. I'm reminding us again that when you see a good thing, if you see somebody respect his elder, then go ahead and learn it from the person. Take it as an example that this is one thing this person knows to do and I don't do. Don't just say, that's how they are in your culture. My culture is different. There are things that are good. Different cultures have different good things. We have to learn that one which is good, and that is how we improve in our everyday lives. Are you getting what I'm trying to say there? So that's what this godliness is. And that was why Paul spoke to Timothy. He said, discipline yourself for that purpose. You exercise yourself. He was comparing this with bodily exercise. That since a man who wants a better life, all right, physically speaking now, concerning his health, we get up and go and jog. In the same manner, you that want a better life spiritually, you will get up and learn those things that are good. If you saw a man forgive another man, learn how to forgive. You know, sometimes, many years ago, I remember I was working in a particular place in a hospital, and The nurses, one day, gathered and they were speaking. And one of the nurses there made a statement which I have never forgotten. She said, "I know that I kneeled down to greet my husband. And my God, come and see the way the other nurses responded. Ah, how could you do that? Some men are not worthy of it. Some men are like this. Some men will not even notice." They kept on talking and explaining why it was not necessary to go through that act of submission and respect. And I just looked at it. What is wrong with all these people? Now, this is something I also haven't really seen, but I've heard about it. And here before my eyes, I was seeing a senior nursing sister who said, now, it was a very good Christian woman, you know, a real Christian woman. She was a very dedicated believer. And one of the things they taught them in their church was how to show respect, like Sarah, that the type that Sarah had for her husband, for Abraham, that they should show towards their own husbands also. Now, here they were, they heard something that is good. Instead of people saying that, "Oh, how did you manage that?" Now, listen, in fact, what I want to teach today is that when you discover some things that are beyond you, there is a power that is beyond you that can help you perform it. Now, I'm going to come back down to that. But you see, sometimes when you see things that are beyond you, like, you don't just reject them because you're unable to do them. You approve, the Bible says, you learn to approve those things that are excellent. If you know this thing is good, you teach yourself that thing. And then I will teach us the principles later on how to get it working in your life. But first point is that you must approve that this thing is good. All right? Now, having agreed that this thing is good, then we'll find out how the power of God will be poured into you so as to make you do that which is good. Please, I'm just reviewing something and adding to it on the fact that it's discipline. So if you see somebody working in an office, I mean, everybody's taking breath and they claim that it's so that they can survive. The country is difficult. And you see somebody who is living and he's not taking bribe. Don't just say this guy is a fool. Ask, talk to him. How do you manage? What is it that propels you to be ready to forgo all these free gifts that may have come our way? What is that level of righteousness all about? Once you have learnt it, that is the right thing, then you are able to discipline yourself towards it. And what did we say? Because it has a promise. There is something good attached to it. There is something good attached to it. He said it has a promise for the life that now is and the life that is to come. So that's why we want to discipline ourselves for it. Remember what we said, that in the beginning God created man. When he made him, the Bible said, he said, "Let us make him in our image and after our likeness, and then let him have dominion." That is, if you see the progression there, it was because God made man in his image and made man in his likeness. That's why the man was able to have dominion. If you want to have dominion in your marriage, that is, be successful in life, in marriage, you must learn godliness. Like that woman I was telling you about, I have discovered one of the major reasons why couples have problems is lack of submission and lack of respect, all right, that a woman has for her husband. Now, not saying that's the only thing, but it's a major thing. So in that particular situation, if those women were finding out that their lives were not exactly what they wanted it to be, and they saw a woman who was happy, because I'm a witness to that, that woman always had a smile. She had love for her husband, had the respect of her husband, and she was about, in my own opinion then, she was the most lovely person of the whole lot. Now you ask yourself, what is it that she has that I don't have? What is it that she's doing that I am not doing? Now, I'm explaining something here because there is a protection. There is a blessing attached to godliness. Are you getting my point? Paul said he has a promise for the life that now is. There is a promise that he has concerning my business. You can make money quickly. You can just get up and say, "Okay, yes, I tell the lie. I do this." I remember somebody was telling me the other day, somebody was speaking where I was, and I was listening to what he was saying. He was talking about business. I was in the market. This is how business is done. You say, so they will have something. They will have a fake one, all right, and a good one. Now, if the good one is 5,000 naira, it will be labeled 5,000 naira. And if the fake one is supposed to be sold for like 1,500 naira, they will label it 7,000 naira, knowing that people will think that that one is the genuine one. And that when a man goes there, he says, "How much is this?" He says, 5,000. "How much is the other one?" 7,000. Now, he automatically programs that the better higher the price, all right, the better the products. Now, and that is a logical thing to do because he is not very aware of, he doesn't know the intricacies of the wickedness of the hearts of these people. Being a normal person, that's what he assumes. And then he begins to price. He said after a while, they probably accept to sell to him for 4,000 naira. And he said they like that because that is where the gain is much. The thing is a fake product. Now listen, I was lost listening to them. And the man said, "This business thing, it takes you years to learn all these things. And that's why they are in the market learning for years." And I told him, they are learning the market for years. All right? How to deceive people. I said, this is why they will never prosper. I told the man, I said, this is why people will never prosper. That's how they will make money for a short period, buy a car for a short period, After a while, the car catches fire or the car spoils, they are unable to change it. One day they get into trouble and somebody delivers them, like the Bible says, to the judge. And he does not release him until he has paid all the destruction that he caused the person. And then he's bankrupt. He comes back, his shop has caught fire. Now, why did he get all of these things? Because he didn't realize that everybody he sold a bad product to, when the thing is spoiled, despite the fact that he paid good money, he said in his soul, God punished that man. And those God punish you, God punish you, God punish you, that's coming from different places, it adds up together one day and becomes calamity in the house of the person. But Paul said, godliness has a promise. Even if people were to speak negatively into your life, if you have been walking positively, listen, if you have been walking righteously, then their words will not have power over you. There is a scripture we should read that would help us learn that thing. There was a time people spoke negatively against a man, Daniel. They gathered against him, and everything they had in their arsenal they used against him. They got the king to decree against Daniel, cut a long story short, such a manner that Daniel didn't have a choice but to break the decree of the king. And then when the man was found praying to another god apart from the king, which was what the people planned, the story is in the book of Daniel chapter 6, they had Daniel thrown into the den of lions. And a lot of us know the story from our childhood. Now, after Daniel was placed in the den of lions, the king, his hand was bound because of their laws that time. The king went back home and prayed for Daniel the whole night, and he hardly slept. Now, early in the morning, the man rose up and ran down to the den. And when he got to that den, he found out that Daniel was alive and well, and the lions had not at all injured him. He shouted out to Daniel when he got there. He said, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you constantly serve been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel spoke, please notice this, to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Why? Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime." Now listen, look to what he said. "Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him." Listen, when your enemies gather against you and they are able to assail you, all right, they are able to conquer you and they are able to defeat you and utterly pull you down, it is because you were not found innocent before God. Oh God, it pains my heart when people spend all night praying. What are they praying about? Their enemies. What are they praying about? Their enemies. I like the way David spoke about his enemies. He said, "Don't rejoice over me even though I fall down." I cannot make you a prayer point. You are rejoicing now. "Even though I fall down, I may be on the ground, but I shall yet rise again." What is important is that I am found innocent, Daniel was saying, in the presence of God. He said, "Before God, I was found innocent, and before you, O king, I have committed no crime." Now, get what I'm trying to say. That is, it is not praying about the lions. Oh, this is what we like to do. "Oh, lions, you will not bite me. You will not kill me. In the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost fire, blood of Jesus." We shout all those things. Meanwhile, we are shouting those things with our wickedness. I'm talking about the man who's in the market deceiving people, selling fake products, making it pass off as if it is genuine. One day his enemies will gather against him. It may be in 20 years' time. And he will say, "I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did." Now, you don't know what you did against them. But the fact is that what you have done against people all the years, their voices have been rising up against you in accusation before the judgment throne of God. And when you were thrown into the lion's den, the lions just ate you up rapidly. The Bible says that Satan is going around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Who are the people that he can devour? The people who, innocence, can you get my point, is not found with them in the presence of God. Who are the people that Satan can devour? They are the people who are found guilty because of the works of their hands before God. So listen, that is what I've been explaining about what godliness is. Godliness, we said, is a defense. It is something, it protects your life and it gives you the ability to have dominion. Oh God, I just need to emphasize this. Satan in himself doesn't have any power. The only power he has, I told you last time, is the power of temptation. What he has is that he will come and tempt you and try to persuade you to do evil, therefore opening yourself up for his attack. And you will now think he has power. But the Bible says righteousness delivers from death. I hope you're getting what I'm going to say here. Now, see, let's just continue from there. Like I said, what I really want to explain today is how do I get that power to walk in a godly fashion? Because the Bible says it is God that's at work within you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, it was said that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. What it meant when he said the law came by Moses is this. Moses told us what to do. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. He told us what to do. He did not give us the power to do it. We know the commandments, but the power to obey the commandments is not found within us. In the book of Romans chapter 7, Paul explained it like that. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do, but I practice the very evil which I do not wish. Now, that's an issue. Moses was able to tell them what good is and cause men to desire to do good because they were children of the covenant. But the power to do it, Moses was not able to give to them. But concerning Jesus, it is said in the book of John chapter 1, it said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That's in the book of John chapter 1 verse 17. This is what he meant when he said grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Not only did Jesus give you the truth concerning what is right and explain to you the depths of the spiritual laws behind them, but he gave us the power to be able to do that which is right. Now, I'll speak some more about this grace. But there's something I mentioned at the beginning. When I read from that 1 Timothy chapter 4, I read into verse 9, that he said this is a faithful saying. That is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. Everything he said about godliness, please listen to this. The Bible says it's a faithful saying, it's a trustworthy statement. And what is that trustworthy statement? That godliness is profitable, having a promise for the life that now is present, and also for the life that hasn't come, but which shall yet come. Are you getting my point? That is the life that is to come. He said it's a faithful or a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. Now, I was reading Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon made a statement that concerning this expression, faithful saying, if you read the King James, that Paul had four faithful sayings that he had to tell us. One is found in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, in which he said that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of which I am chief. Paul was speaking. That is a faithful statement worthy of all acceptance. It's a trustworthy statement that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, another one of those faithful sayings, I want us to read it quickly, and that's in the book of Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Now, this one is very important, and I want to use it to lay the foundation for this issue of grace being poured into our lives. Because there's something about Christianity, and that's the beauty of Christianity. The obedience to the laws of God is not by struggle. It's by discovering the truth and having the grace of God poured into you. You know, the other day I was watching on TV people who were drug addicts. How drugs kept them in bondage for maybe like 20 years. A woman said that her people loved her. Her people loved her. They loved her very much. But because of what heroin had done to her life, it was so bad that they wouldn't let her come into the house. She was living on the streets in Lagos. If she goes to the house of her brothers, her sisters, her cousins, they will allow her to come to the door. Ask her, what do you want? She will say, I'm hungry. They will say, wait outside. They will go into the house, go and bring food for her, and give her the food. If she doesn't have clothes, they will go into the house, bring clothes and give to her. She said, these people loved me. Why are they doing this? It's because if they allow me into their house, I will take their wristwatches, I will take their rings, I will take their jewelry, I will take their stuff because of the hold that heroin had on my life. Now, are you getting my point? She said, I want to be delivered. I have gone for rehabilitation 3 times. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, these people have gone for deliverance. One young man said how he met Jesus, and that's something I want to tell you. Now, Jesus delivers people. And Paul said it's a trustworthy statement, are you getting me, that he came into the world to save sinners. I need to develop that. That's the beauty of Christianity. That is the way it is different from every other religion. Jesus doesn't tell you what to do alone. Jesus gives you the power to do that which is right. Listen, it's Christ Jesus that pours his spirit into people that they will refuse to deny him in the face of death. It's not because they don't have the fear or because their flesh is so strong,
But because he has poured the spirit of the overcomer into them, they just can't deny their Lord. Now, this is what Jesus does. He gives you the power to overcome sin. Now, let's quickly read that other reference to faithful saying. This is from the book of Titus chapter 3. Now, I'm going to read quite a lengthy portion because we have to learn about the power of Christ Jesus. Jesus is Lord, and that's a matter of fact. He came to save sinners. That's a matter of fact. We are not Christians because we just want to be able to identify with the religion. We are Christians because he is the one that gives us the power to overcome sin. He is the one that gives us the power to walk in godliness so that we can have the dominion that he designed for us to have. Jesus is not a taskmaster. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I was telling you about the drug person just now. One of the drug people said that one day, he said he had lived with fella for over 14 years. And then one day, after taking his drugs, he realized he was about to die. And then he remembered that somebody told him about Christ Jesus and had invited him to church. I didn't finish the whole story watching it, but at that point, he was a pastor who was now delivering other people. What happened to him? He went and Jesus delivered him. He wasn't needing rehabilitation again and again and again anymore. God didn't just give him the knowledge of drugs are bad. He gave him the power to walk above heroin. He gave him the power to walk above cannabis. He gave him the power to walk above cocaine. He gave him the power to walk above, listen to me, because he can do this to anybody, for anybody. He gave them the power, all right, to walk above prostitution. He gives people the power to walk above stealing. You don't have to be a thief. You know stealing is wrong. You know you may die and go to hell, but you have been compelled, it appears like, by a force that is bigger than you. This is my message to you tonight. There is deliverance in Christ Jesus. Listen to the way he said it. Paul was explaining that this is how all of us were from verse 3. He said, "We also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived." That's Titus chapter 3 from verse 3. Disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Now notice the word saved, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He said, "This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I wanted to speak confidently." And I'm speaking confidently to you today that you might believe God and be careful, he said, to engage in good deeds. Listen, Paul said, Jesus came to save people. That God, this was what he did. In Christ Jesus, he poured his Holy Spirit richly. Are you getting me? Upon people. He poured his Holy Spirit richly upon us. And by that, he washed us. He said there was a washing of regeneration and the renewal of our souls. Now, what God does is to cleanse out that bond, that hold that Satan has upon you to walk in an ungodly fashion. There are many people who are on the streets. You are a harlot. You get my point? You are wasting away your abilities to succeed for temporary gain. Jesus said, "I can remove the desire for that profession out of you." You are a thief. Jesus said, "I will remove the desire for stealing out of you." You are a wife beater. Jesus said, "I will make it so much that you will become a wife defender, not a wife beater." Are you a disrespectful woman to your husband? They say, "I will make you desire." Are you getting what I'm saying? To be pleasing in the sight of your husband. Listen to me. Are you a stingy man? Jesus said, "I will pour my spirit." Listen, he washes away the iniquity of the hearts of people. Listen, I told you before, that's why I don't like being called a motivational speaker. You don't have enough strength in yourself to obey God. What am I preaching? I'm preaching the power of God for obedience. I'm preaching the Holy Spirit, the regenerating power and the renewing power of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying the time for godliness is now. It is not by your struggles. That's the beauty of Christianity. It's by raising up your hands in prayer, in supplication to God and saying, "Pour your spirit upon me." When people say, I have given my life to Christ, a lot of people think it is time to go to church and change your clothing alone. It's time to go to church and appear like a good girl so you can have a good husband. It's time to go to church and look like a responsible person in society so when you want to contest for government post, people will vote for you. That's not what Christianity is. That's not what it means to give your life to Christ Jesus. What does it mean to give your life to Christ Jesus? It means to receive the ability to obey God. It means to have the sin washed away. It means to have the consequences of the past washed by the precious blood of Jesus. Because I said before, every seed you sowed is going to germinate for you one day. But all those negative seeds, this is what Jesus does by his blood. He washes them away. So your life becomes new. And he pours in you the ability to do good works. You can see that what Paul said here to Titus. He said, I want you to speak confidently about these things. He said, so that men who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. By the renewing, listen, of the Holy Spirit, you now have the ability to engage in good deeds. The Bible says that it is God that is at work within you, both to will and to do his good works. He said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen, to do good works is not a difficult thing for a real believer in Christ Jesus. All you need to do is kneel down where you are tonight. Maybe you are driving, just pray. Whatever it is that you are doing, just go in prayer before God. He said, this power of godliness, I want it. I repent of my former life. I accept Christ Jesus into my life that he might put the ability to do good into me. I don't want to struggle by myself. I want to find the grace and truth that is revealed through Christ Jesus working in me. I want to walk in a manner pleasing to you, O God. Listen to me. God will pour the thing into you. That is all I can do as a preacher, to introduce you to God the Father. And between you and him, you will see his spirit begin to work inside your life. He will transform you into something that you will look back and you will not be able to recognize. I saw that man, a former drug addict and idol worshiper. He was playing a song of blessing before the Lord and he was singing. He was a pastor, regenerated. Do you understand? His life had been turned around. Because he remembered to go to the person who has a power for change. What have I taught today? That the power for change is in Christ Jesus. The power for walking in a godly fashion is in Christ Jesus. The power to walk so as to take dominion in life is in Christ Jesus. The power for fulfillment is in Christ Jesus. The power for regeneration is in Christ Jesus. The power for all these things is in Christ Jesus.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.